Good morning.
Good morning.
Open your Bibles this morning to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. For 6 months, a German farmer tried in vain to capture his runaway bull. The bull had escaped during the summer and hid out in the woods. He attempted to lasso the animal, but the bull would always flee into the woods. The farmer tried shooting the beast with a tranquilizer, but the darts proved inactive. But where the farmer failed, his neighbor, Warner Deschamps, succeeded. Deschamps saw the bull eating grain out of the bucket on his property and tried and failed to snare the cautious beast. But Deschamps had an idea for when the animal returned. The next day, Deschamps mixed more grain with a bottle of vodka. Once liquored up, the escaped bull was easy to capture. According to one news report, the bull now had been returned to his owner and will not be allowed out again. What worked with the bull also works on human beings. It's so easy to fall in a trap on finding something we enjoy, especially something that is sinful, and going back to it again and again. If you're a Christian, that means you already had that time in your past when you repented of your sins and gave your life to Jesus and became a new creature in Christ. But I've yet to meet a Christian who has not sinned again after he is saved. We all sin again. The key is to ask for forgiveness when we sin.
Amen.
This morning we're going to continue in our series, Breaking the Chains, and we're going to talk about the bondage of sin. How do we escape that bondage of sin? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. For some, it has gone beyond an occasional sin and turning into a lifestyle of sin, possibly even returning to the person you were before meeting Christ. In this sermon series, we're talking about breaking the chains, and one of those chains is the bondage of sin. Today, I want to give you some steps to help you to put those sins behind you so that you can walk again in the fullness of Christ. In James chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we'll read 3 verses. We'll start in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you, Lord, for those that have come out this morning to hear your word. We pray, Father, that you would help us break these sins of bondage and help us to live a life in the fullness of Christ. Help us this morning as we preach your word. Help us to have knowledge of your word. Help us to have a voice to speak it with. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Yes.
The first topic we're going to discuss is recognize the root of our sin. Where does sin come from? Many people will tell you it comes from Satan. But it does not come from Satan in our lives. Are you just walking down the street, minding your own business, and the devil swoops in and puts some sin into your life? Well, while there is no doubt that the devil does tempt us, the root problem of our sin is not him, but ourselves. Look in verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Notice that verse. Every man is tempted by his own lust when he is given in to that lust and enticed. This tells us that Satan is not the root of our sin in our lives when we are a Christian. It is us that give in to that lust, give in to that sin, give in to anything that causes us to go away from living the fullness of Christ and getting in to our sin. Until we recognize that we are responsible for our own sin, we will not overcome it. In today's culture, we like to claim that we are victims of everything bad that happens to us. And I've also seen this in our modern churches. We blame our sin on our upbringing, on our chemical imbalances, or our friends and family. The list goes on and on. But no matter what our life circumstances might be, and for many, they have been very bad, the root of our sin is always comes from our own desires. Once we understand and accept this as true, we are ready to begin working on removing the sin from our lives. Now, I'm fully aware that it is God who forgives us of our sins. So when I'm talking about removing those sins, I'm talking about getting to the point where we stop committing them. For instance, if a sin that has control of me is continual lying, I can go to God for forgiveness. King David says this, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. God will forgive my sin of lying. At some point, I need to stop doing that. I need to stop committing that sin. God has the ability to keep forgiving of us of our sin, of course, but He also gives me the ability to quit giving in to this habitual sin that is controlling me. If the sin is a result of my desire, then with God's help, I need to quit desiring it. This is what we need to do. We need to quit desiring those things that cause us the sin. If there's something in your life that is causing you to sin, if it's a family member, if it's an occasion, if it's something that you always go back to that causes you to sin, you need to get rid of it. You need to cast it aside. Stop desiring it. The second thing we need to do is repent and confess. Wabash, a town in a remote portion of Canada, was completely isolated for some time. But recently, a road was cut through the wilderness to reach it. Wabash has one road leading into it, and thus only one road leading out of it. If someone would travel the unpaved road for 6 to 8 hours to get into Wabash, there is only one way he or she could leave. That is by turning around. The same is true for us. Repent means to turn around completely, do a 180, and stop sinning. Repent means turning around and going the other way. All of us need to repent and confess our sin. Each of us, by birth, arise in the town called sin. As in Wabash, there is only one way out, a road built by God Himself. But in order to take that road, one must first turn around. That complete about face is what the Bible calls repentance. And without it, there's no way out of the town of sin. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says this, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent, the Bible says. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. The Bible also says if we sin, we can go to God, we can confess our sins, and He will remove those sins even after we're saved. Many people that are Christians still sin. Many people that are Christians still have this habitual thing that they call sin that they commit over and over and over again. They can't explain to you why they do that. But they continually sin and they need to repent and confess their sins. If you want to be free from the bondage of sin, you need to make a conscious decision to leave that sin behind. You are promising God that you are no longer going to make that turn. You're no longer going to go around that road of sin. You're going to make a U-turn in your life and start following Him instead of that sinful desires. And don't think you're alone in this. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We've all sinned. We all continue to sin even after we're saved. This is a problem we've got because we don't lose that carnal nature in our life. Once we become a Christian, that carnal nature is still there. That carnal nature that lives inside of us, even though we gained that spiritual nature once we became a Christian, we still have this carnal nature that causes us to sin. It wants to drag us away from God. It wants to drag us into sin. The Bible says, our body lusts towards envy. We are always drawn away from God, not only by Satan, but by our desires that we have in our life. Listen, so we not only repent of our sin, but we confess those sins to our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can lift us up before the throne of God in prayer. James 5:16 says this, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." This verse is mainly talking about healing, but is also talking about confess your faults, confess your sins to one another. We need to confess our sins to one another so that they can pray for us, so they can help us overcome this sin in our life. Some read this passage and apply it to physical healing, but the emphasis is on healing from sin. I know it is hard to do, but confession is not only good for the soul, it is necessary. Thirdly, remove temptation. If you don't want your child to play a video games 24/7, you take away his controller. If your dog is overweight, you hide the dog bowl. If your daughter is dating a loser, you try to cut him out of her life. But for some reason, we don't usually do the same thing when we have an ongoing sin in our own lives. Jesus says this, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members shall not perish, and not that the whole body shall be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members shall perish, and not the whole body shall be cast into hell." Paul wrote this, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." What both Jesus and Paul are saying is that we need to remove temptation from our lives. Get rid of those things you know are going to be a problem for you. Get rid of those things that are causing you to sin. Get rid of those things that are causing you to be drawn away from God and into the pit of sin. Get rid of those things. Get rid of everything that's causing you to sin. There are many things that we need to get rid of in order to avoid temptation and overcome sins. Here are some examples. We need to get rid of things that trigger our sinful desires, such as access to pornography, drugs, and alcohol. Get it out of your house so you're not tempted anymore. Cut ties with negative influences. We may need to remove ourselves from relationships or environments that enable our sinful behavior, such as spending time with friends who encourage us to engage in negative habits and attending parties where we know there will be temptation. Unsubscribe from sources of temptation. We may need to cut off sources of temptation, such as unfollowing social media accounts that promote ungodly values and indulging in certain websites and blogs. Change your routines. We may need to modify our daily routines to avoid temptation, such as changing our route to avoid places or people that we know will be a stumbling block. Ultimately, what we need is to get rid of everything that causes us to be tempted. Avoid temptation. What we need to do is get rid of everything and that causes us to go into sin and causes us to get away from God. Listen, what we need to get rid of to avoid temptation will depend on our individual struggles and needs. Pray and seek God's guidance in discerning what needs to be removed from your life to help you overcome sin. All of us have vices that cause us to sin. All of us have things that we do that causes us to sin. It may be something as simple as overeating. Gluttony is a sin. When you overeat, it's a sin. When you spend too much money, it's a sin. When you get caught up in the things of the world, it's a sin. Everything around us is motivated to cause us to sin. Every TV show that comes on the TV causes us to be drawn away from God. Everything that we see in today's life causes us to be drawn away from God. The fourth thing we need to do is resist the devil. There are two verses in the New Testament that really get to the heart of this. I'm going to give them to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I want you to turn your Bibles over there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And I want you to think about this that Peter says. Very important that we think about this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says this. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, Satan does not have to devour, and he does not have to seek after those that are lost. He already has them. This scripture is talking about Christians. It's talking about people that belong to God. Be sober. Be vigilant. The words sober and vigilant go together. Be sober means be alert. Be always on guard. Be always looking for things that cause you to sin. Vigilant means be on guard also, but it means be attentive to everything that's causing you to sin. It may be a TV program. It may be a computer program. It may be anything that causes you to sin and get away from God. Get away from it. Leave it alone. Go a different direction. The devil is actively seeking you out. While we all have watched the shows on television where they show hungry lions stalking this prey, they will lay low watching a gazelle grazing out in the field. Then, just at the right moment, they will run and pounce on the helpless animal, ripping it to pieces. According to the Bible, the devil is that lion. You are the gazelle. He spends every waking moment trying to get you to fall, trying to get you away from God. This is why we must pay close attention to the next verse. Go back to James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. This is another important verse that we need to remember. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That is the first verse. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's all we have to do. Satan is constantly after us. Satan is constantly trying to cause us to sin. Satan is always causing us to get away from God. Satan is on the move each and every day of our life. What do we do? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit your life to God. Submit your total life to God. Submit your will to God. Submit everything you have in your life to God, and the devil will flee. Yeah. Satan cannot get a hold of you when you're close to God. But many of us go away from God and go towards sin, and many of us don't stay close enough to God to keep Satan from tempting us to sin. Listen, my friend, if we will resist Satan, if we will submit ourselves unto God, resist the devil, he will flee from us. What happens when you submit your life to God? What happens when we completely submit our life to God? What happens when you show the devil you're not going to give in to his desires? He will flee from you. So how do you obey this verse in practical terms? Number one, surrender to God. The first step to resisting the devil is submitting ourselves to God. This involves surrendering our will and desires to God and allowing His will to guide our actions and decisions. Listen, my friend, if you're following God's will, if you're letting the Holy Spirit guide you, if you're letting the Holy Spirit direct your path, if you have the Word of God teaching you and leading your path, you will not be caught in the traps of Satan. Listen, we can do this by spending time in prayer and reading the Bible regularly, attending church, and seeking fellowship with other believers. Secondly, recognize the enemy's tactics. The devil is a deceiver and a liar, so it's important to recognize his tactics. We need to be alert and aware of the temptations and negative thoughts that come from him. We can do this by being mindful of our thoughts and actions and by comparing them to God's words. Anytime Satan tempts you, anytime he causes you to go against God's word, we know that's a sin. We know that we shouldn't put things on our body that harm our bodies. But still, many Christians smoke. When the label on the pack of the cigarette says, can cause death. Let me ask you a question. Would you run into a burning building without any protection? Many of you would say no. But yet, we smoke cigarettes that have a detrimental tune to our body and causes all kind of problems in our body. And the Bible clearly says that if you put anything in your body that harms this Holy Spirit's temple, God will destroy your mortal body. So we wonder why many people that are young look old. It's because they're putting things in this body that God destroys their body because of it. And he will do that anytime we put anything in this body that causes us to go against God's word. Read his word. Seek fellowship with other believers. Attend church regularly. Realize that Satan is your enemy. Satan is your enemy, and he wants nothing more than to drag you into sin. He wants nothing more to cause you to put things in this body that will harm you, that will cause God to destroy this mortal body. Listen, recognize the enemy's tactics. We can do this by being mindful of our thoughts and actions and by comparing them to God's word. Thirdly, stand firm in our faith. We need to stand firm in our faith and resist the devil's attacks. This means holding on to God's promises and never giving in to the fear or doubt that Satan is so intent on causing us to do. Listen, many people fear. We talked about this several weeks ago, that we had no need to fear anything because we got God with us every day we walk in this life. We have no need to fear anything, not even death, because to die is gain. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We have no need to fear anything, but Satan uses fear to attack Christians. Fear this, fear that, fear this, fear war, fear what people might do to you, fear everything. He uses that tactic to cause you to fear and doubt God's word. We can do this by memorizing scripture and using it to combat negative thoughts and emotions. Fourthly, seek support from other believers. We are not meant to resist the devil alone. We need the support and encouragement from other believers. We can do this by joining in a Bible study, seeking out a mentor or accountability partner, or being transparent about our struggles in this life. Get you a friend that you can talk to about your struggles. If you got something in your life that's causing you to sin, talk to somebody about it. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your friend. Talk to anyone that can help you spiritually. You're not meant to fight this battle alone. You've got church members that will help you in this struggle. Always seek out someone to help hold you accountable. Fifthly, exercise self-control. The devil often tempts us with things that appeal to our fleshly desires. We mentioned this earlier, but it bears repeating. We need to practice self-control, avoid situations or behaviors that we know will lead to temptation. We can do this by setting boundaries for ourselves and being intentional about our actions and decisions. By following these steps, we can resist the devil and stand firm in our faith. Remember, with God's help and the support of other believers, we can overcome the enemy's attacks and live victorious life in Jesus. You're not meant to fight this battle alone. Christ will be with you. Fellow believers will fight for you. They'll fight with you. You're not meant to fight this battle alone. You have the Holy Spirit living inside you that is always calling you, always teaching you, always leading you down the right path. But we as Christians many times quench the Spirit. We quench Him and we say, it won't hurt to do this. It won't hurt to do this sin. It won't hurt to do this, watch this show. It won't hurt to go this place. We won't hurt if we just dabble in it. We need to remember what our text said this morning. The Bible says, notice what our text says. When lust hath conceived, verse 15, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now that might be talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Listen, my friend, we need to realize that Satan is our enemy and he wants nothing more than to draw you into sin. If you will resist him, if you'll stay close to God, if you'll stay prayed up, if you'll go to church regularly, and listen to God's word. If you'll find a support group, if you'll find somebody that will help you, you will be more in tune with God and you will not be drawn into sin. As we wrap this up today, let us remember that sin is a universal problem, but it is not one that we have to face alone. Through the power of God and support of other believers, we can overcome sin and live the victorious life that God has called us to live. Let us remember that victory over sin is not a one-time event, but an ongoing process. We will face temptations and struggles, but we can face them with a confidence that comes from knowing that God is with us and He will help us to overcome. God will help you if you'll trust in Him, if you'll trust in His Word, if you'll seek His guidance. God will help you overcome this sin. Listen, as we go forth from this place this morning, let us commit to following the steps outlined in this message. Let us recognize the root of sin is our lust. Let us recognize that the root of all sin is not Satan. It is our lust that causes us to sin. It is the lust of the flesh. Let us recognize the root of sin. Repent and confess our sins. Remove temptation and resist the devil. You can break the chain of sin. You can break that bondage that's got you chained and causing you to go away from God if we'll simply let God be first in your life. Listen, my friend, God wants nothing more than for you to stay close to Him, for you to stay prayed up, for you to come to church and feed off the Word of God. But many Christians don't do that. Many Christians think they can stay at home and listen to preaching on TV. Let me tell you something, my friend. You might be able to stay at home and listen to preaching on TV, but you don't have the fellowship of your brothers and sisters that you do when you come to church. You don't have this support. You don't have people praying for you. You don't have people that will share your burdens with you. So come to church. Be in church every Sunday. Come and feed on the Word of God and bask in the help that the people around you will give you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me today. We pray, God, that it's been delivered in a way that people will understand and use it in their daily lives. Lord, help us to be Christians that walk in your path. Help us to be Christians that follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that stay close to you, that submit our lives unto God, and resist the devil so that he will not cause us to be away from you and to get into the bondage of sin ever again. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.